to be here. I didn't know if I would have much of a voice this morning. In fact, well, I'm not going to tell that joke about preachers losing their voice. You just laugh, one, two, three. All right, that's as if I told it. It's a bad joke. Anyway, we've been in this conversation about the kingdom of heaven, about Jesus' teaching through the Sermon on the Mount that was several weeks running, and really, I hope we drove home. I hope you've carried away in your hearts and still hold it there, this idea that all of this conversation, all of the reason we're here in this room today is about God putting things back the way they're supposed to be in this atmosphere of unrestricted love, unconditional love, right? This idea of blessing others, loving them for no good reason at all, right? For whether they've done something or not done something to you or for you, seeking their highest good. This is the substance of the atmosphere of the kingdom of heaven. And I know for many of us, we've thought about the kingdom of heaven as something out there, something for then, something for later. But Jesus teaches us that the kingdom of heaven is here. Those are his words, and that the kingdom of heaven is now. So we were already living in this atmosphere of the kingdom come. And so we've moved on from this understanding that unrestricted love is this critical component to our life as believers, as followers of Jesus. And we've pulled that thread into this series in which we're talking about our behavior or developing habits that sort of build on this foundation, this understanding of the kingdom of heaven. It's one thing to think about it or to grasp it as sort of an intellectual thing. It's one thing to know about the kingdom of heaven. It's an entirely different thing to embody it in our own lives, to understand that through our own behaviors, we create the atmosphere of heaven around us, for our families, and for the people in our lives. This unrestricted love. Love is the atmosphere of heaven. And we've talked so far about these habits. We've talked about two of them, right? We've talked about blessing. And we've talked about how blessing is, and I know these slides, I'm doing it out of order. Jonathan, I'm on cold medicine, so just relax and let Jesus do his thing. We've talked about blessing being this response to unrestricted love in which we seek others out. We seek to build them up. We seek to do some good for them. Thank you. To encourage them, to increase their well-being, right? To seek their highest good no matter what. So if we're going to be followers of Christ who live as citizens of his kingdom, this is a habit, right? A habit is a pattern of behavior that we embody, that reflects what we believe. It's something that we give away on the regular based on the fact that we've been given it and we receive it on the regular. This idea of blessing people is a habit. We challenged folks a couple of weeks ago. We challenged you to bless three people. I got a bunch of stories in about your experiences in seeking people to bless. Fantastic. We heard a few of those last week. This last week, we talked about a second behavior, and that was really something a whole lot of fun. That's eating, eating with other people, right? We're going to jump back into the text where we get some of this out of in just a few minutes, but we see that that they ate together. Jonathan, if you want to bring that up, they ate together with glad and sincere hearts. Keep going. Sorry, there you go. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And we challenged you to seek out intentionally to eat with three people this last week, people that were a part of this congregation and people that were not a part of this congregation. And I just want to ask you, how many of you took that challenge? I see a few hands. Does anybody have any stories to tell about your experience in intentionally seeking to eat with other people? Just holler out. Pardon that? You gained 5 pounds? Think of it as insulation with the temperatures dropping. Who else? What other experiences did you have? Jody. Wonderful. All of that happens around the table, right? We talked about how the table was this place of communion, right? Where no matter where we are, what culture we're in, what's going on around us, how different we are from the people sitting on the other side, when we come to the table, we all come home. And it's an opportunity to share our life with one another. Speaking into someone's life about their fears, challenging them, encouraging them, blessing them right around the table. What else? Yeah. So you intentionally went to eat with them, and then all of a sudden you were sharing life and discovered all these other ways where you could intentionally bless them and share unrestricted, right, unconditional love and blessing with them. That's pretty awesome. I had a couple of experiences this week myself before I got really sick, and both of the experiences were people pouring into my life. I don't think it started off that way. It was, hey, let's get together. And it's just a wonderful thing, again, to have communion, to come to a table and have someone that knows you or learns you and understands what God needs or wants to say to you in those moments, and to have that spoken over you is a powerful thing. And I would say this so that it sounds more real for you. They weren't just like, oh, you're wonderful. It was, hey, what about this? I want to challenge you on that. I'm feeling uncomfortable about this. Can we talk about it? And it ended up being a blessing that filled me up. It built me up. All happened around the table. Any other expressions? I want to ask you to continue to intentionally look to bless people every week. I want to ask you to continue to intentionally look to be around a table, coffee, a scone, right? Dinner, breakfast, lunch, whatever it looks like. I want to encourage you to continue to do that, because these are habits that are founded in the kingdom of heaven. They're patterns that we see in Jesus's own life. They're patterns that we can see come out of the practice of the early church, their response to the kingdom of heaven breaking in and being real, this unrestricted love. These are patterns that will reinforce our worldview that includes the kingdom of heaven being here and now. So keep it up. We're going to talk about two more habits today. And as we kind of do that, can you take us back, Jonathan, to the beginning of this Acts 2 passage? And I just want to read this again. A lot of times this gets looked at, and probably for good reason, as kind of a pattern for how we as believers ought to be in life together. But I want us to continue to look at it as this was the response, the reaction of these believers to the life of Jesus, his teaching, and the unrestricted love, the atmosphere that they encountered as they became citizens of the kingdom. And I want us to allow that idea, this is their response, this is their reaction to Jesus and the unrestricted love that he shared and made a way for. I want us to grab a hold of that and think about that before we move into these next two habits. The other thing I want to make clear that we talked about initially when we started this series is this text follows another really important text in the book of Acts in the first chapter. And that text is a description of the presence of God coming permanently to dwell with us as the Holy Spirit. And I'm making this point, and I want to be very clear that this unrestricted love business is total junk if we try to pull it off on our own. We will mess it up. We will engage in it for disingenuous reasons. We will use it. We will fall into the same patterns that many of us already either engage in or experience from others that doesn't feel like love. But it's the presence of God. It's the empowerment of His Spirit. In Acts 1:8, it says, "You will receive power when the Spirit comes." And the Spirit comes, and this is their response. So they're empowered by the Spirit, and this is their reaction. I wanted to make that clear again today, because as I was laying in my sick bed for the several days this week, it occurred to me, we just challenged them to bless three people, to eat with three people. That's hard to do. Like, how many of you found that it was hard to have that level of intentionality, to find that time, to find that resource? A few of you are brave enough to nod your heads. Yeah, it's difficult. And I'm like, it sounds like we're just giving people homework. Like, I'm laying here not really able to do a whole lot. And I'm feeling like, oh gosh, I didn't check that off. I didn't get to eat with one person that wasn't a part of this congregation. I'm a loser this week. I'm sorry. I had to come and confess that. But I was laying there. I'm like, no, that's not what this is about. It wasn't our heart's intention as we put this series together. This isn't about giving you homework. This isn't about busyness. Too often, the mission of the church equates and equals and looks and sounds and feels like busyness. And that's not what this is. This is a reaction. This is our response to the love of Jesus, to the presence of His kingdom, right here and right now. So, okay, those are the things I needed to get off my chest early on here in our time together. So if you, if you're an extrovert, how many of you are extroverts? Holy cow. Way more in here than there used to be. Praise Jesus. So if you're an extrovert, I'm gonna do an unscientific poll in my mind. I'm looking in around the, okay. Probably more extroverts engaged in the intentional blessing and the intentional eating, and your introverts were like, oh, please don't make us interact with people. That's okay. Keep working at it, but you're gonna love these. You're gonna love the next two habits as we get to them. So let me read through this text to you one more time as we get into these next two habits. So it says that they devoted themselves, they organized their lives around the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together, and they had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need, and every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes, and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being inducted into the kingdom, those who were becoming citizens of this new way of living in the power and under the rule and reign of Jesus Christ. It's an amazing picture to capture. And so I know the slides are going to be messed up, so Jonathan, be on your toes. I want to introduce these next two habits that are both reactions to this unrestricted love and this atmosphere of the kingdom of heaven. They're reactions to that, and they're also patterns of behavior that build upon our belief. They build upon this worldview that we have, and they help us to live like this is what we believe. They help it to become a part of our natural way of thinking and seeing and responding to the world around us. So these next two habits are both reactions and spiritual workout routines that build up our capacity, right, to create and share this atmosphere of heaven all around us. So this is for the introverts, these two this week. All right, so we're going to get through these. Can you go right to listen? There. This third habit. You guys can read it. Introverts, go ahead, read it. Extroverts, I'll get to you in a second. I will spend at least one period of time this week listening for the Spirit's voice. I'm super comfortable in admitting that this can be a super uncomfortable challenge or invitation for many of us. We have grabbed a hold of this idea that there is a Spirit. It's a Holy Spirit. It's part of the community of the Trinity, that it's here, it's dwelling with us, and we accuse it of a bunch of different things, right? Of messing around with us, of healing some and not healing others, of bringing understanding when we're reading texts and giving us insight into what's going on in our lives and in the lives of others. And these are all things, right, that the Spirit is doing. But listening to the Spirit's voice is not a common, it's not a common intention that we've shared very well in our communal life as citizens of the kingdom. And so I fully confess that. This might be weird, more weird than intentionally eating with me in the middle of the week, right? That was supposed to be humor, but my... Thanks. I'm an extrovert. I need you to respond to me, especially when I'm sick. But here's the deal. Jesus does this. He gives us examples of this all through the text where he gets away. He steps out of the routine. He steps out of the chaos. He steps out of the crisis. He steps out of the obligation. Often he gets away to listen. So we can call it prayer. And in the sort of the realm of the classic spiritual disciplines, right? Prayer is definitely a part of listening for the voice of God. Some can call it meditation, right? This idea of not necessarily pushing everything out of your mind like Eastern meditation seems to ascribe to, but actually allowing things to pour in and becoming able to discern which ones are the voice of God, and which ones are my voice, and which ones are the voice of the world around me, right? So there's this intentionality that takes place before we can, like, naturally hear the Spirit. Jesus says, I only do what I see my Father doing, so he's got to be in touch with the Father. You know, and sort of the corollary of this, the thing that's like it is, I only say what I hear my Father saying, right? So you've got to be able to hear what the Father's saying and see what the Father's doing. And again, these aren't rules. These aren't obligations. These aren't things that if you can't do it, you're a bad human being or an inappropriate citizen of the kingdom. It just means you're missing out. It just means that, like me, there are things that God wants to give us and God wants us to give away that we're not able to because we're not hearing what he's saying or we're not seeing what he's doing. So there's a motivation, right? There's a response, a reaction to this unrestricted love that we've received, to this atmosphere that allows our life to increasingly flourish. And it should look like us wanting to hear him and see him. So we're encouraging you this week, along with blessing, along with eating with people, to begin to build into your life a pattern of listening to God. I know that some of you already do. And I'm just going to throw this out there because I need to take a drink of water. and steady myself on the pew. How many, I don't want to ask that question. I want to ask those of you that do have a habit of listening for God, listening for the Spirit's voice, could you share what you do? What are the patterns and the routines that you do to make space for this, to make it more natural for you to hear from him? Just holler. Those are for the extroverts. Speak politely if you're an introvert. Sorry? Eliminating some distractions. Oh. Wow, that really blesses me. I love it when Jesus speaks through all of us. Here's what she said. I turn down the noise of everything that I know is not him. You know, I choose what I'm watching. I choose what I'm consuming so that that noise level is lower, right? I have less static and less interference to try to listen through. Man, profound, wonderful, thank you. Any of the rest of you that have a regular habit or pattern of behaviors that allow you to listen to his voice? I see a finger here. You've written them down? She just said a lot of great stuff. Like she journals things that she's heard God say about her or to her. She goes back and she reads through that from time to time, again and again. And then she said this great phrase, which I hope emboldens everybody. She says, and then when that's not enough, I love it, right? She said, when that's not enough, I just go to the scriptures and I read it out loud as I walk around my house so that it engages all of my senses. And I just allow his written word, the outer word, right, to sort of infuse my senses and my experience. Anybody else? Yes. Yes, you're welcome. I said, yes, you're welcome. I'm afraid to ask you to share more, but share more about that. So you find that he responds in different ways to you based on things that you've been worried about, you've been chewing on, you've been focused on, and he's interacting with you on those things. And he does it in a way that gets you. Love it. Anybody else? Jody. Oh, so if it's not Morgan Freeman's voice, it's got to be some British guy. Yeah, so you engage technology to support your habit of listening for Jesus. I also heard her say worship music, that she can listen for God's voice during worship and hearing other people proclaiming praise and worship opens her up to tuning in to the voice of God. Great. Did you?
I did. So I've always had a struggle with being disciplined and, you know, talking to God daily. And I found that part of it was I had a hard time controlling my environment. There were always interruptions. There was always things to do. The
She's talking about me.
Made it like, oh, I'm in my car by myself, time to talk to God, and that's been an easy habit to establish.
Good. No, I didn't work that out with her ahead of time, but she just spoke something over us that I want to make sure lands, and that is, you don't have to always add any more things to your life in order to practice these habits of listening, or practice these habits of intentionally eating with others, or practice these habits of intentionally blessing others. You only have to add intention, which seems to be the thing that we mostly struggle with. So thank you for that. I just want to share just a pattern of prayer and meditation that I do, and I know I've shared this with you before, but it's something that really helps me focus. So God and I have a lot of conversations, so my relationship with him is very conversational. And he's never called me bug, but he has told me to shut up a few times. And literally, that's what I've heard, and not, that sounds like he's rude, but it's like he knows me, and he knows that he can mess with me, and so that's sometimes how he and I get together. But this is a pattern that I do daily, and sometimes multiple times in a day. When I wake up, I set myself up for hearing his voice. I make an intentional attempt at saying, okay, God, what are we going to do today? Assuming that he's present with me, right? Empowering me with his presence, his spirit. What are we going to do today and what's my part? And then I wait and I listen. Wait. And then the next question is kind of the ongoing thing. God, what is happening to me right now? I feel pushed. I feel crunchy. I feel excited. I feel joy. What's happening to me right now? And what's my part in it? And I want him to narrate my life. I want him to explain and assign meaning to the moment I'm in. I want to listen for how he is describing this kingdom moment that I find myself experiencing. And then finally, in the evenings, a lot of times when I'm pulling in to my driveway and I'm in my car, I'm like, okay, God, what happened to me today? What was my part in it? What was I supposed to learn? What am I supposed to confess? What needs to change, right? I have this. So it's there in the car. And then oftentimes as I'm getting ready to go to sleep, God, what happened today? Right, so it's this pattern of intentionally asking questions, and it might not work for all of you, but it works for me because Jesus and I have conversations. Jeremy, you. Yeah.
And so one of the things that has helped me is when I just realize that God is speaking to me, it's almost like this encoded message that doesn't have words yet.
Yeah.
If I just focus on receiving what that thing is, then it has a way of unpacking itself later in a way that
I'm just... Gosh, so good. So good. And thank you for sharing that. I have experienced this too. This is why that middle question's there for me. God, what's happening to me right now? What is this that I'm sensing? What is it that I'm feeling? Would you narrate this? Would you make it clear? And Jeremy, I appreciate what you're saying because my experience is similar. Sometimes I don't know right away. I just feel this thing. Or I'm experiencing something. It's super important. Before we move on to the next habit, I just want to set you free in this. This is one of the things that I love about life in the kingdom is that it is as varied and diverse as each one of us can be in this room. It's amazing how he can speak to us. It's amazing how we can reach out to him in our own ways. Some of you, because I've talked to you before, say, I hear him best when I'm running, when I'm out on the road pounding the pavement, right? When I'm putting miles under my feet, everything else falls away. Like I'm moving my body and all of a sudden the volume on everything else turns down and the volume on his voice turns up. There are so many ways to build into your life this pattern of listening. So we want to challenge you. We want to challenge you to try this habit. Just intentionally set aside one chunk of your week this week to listen for him in some way. And don't be discouraged if it doesn't come naturally. I'm not a very tall man, but I was really good running hurdles in high school. And you're looking at me and you're like, holy cow, how'd you get over those things? I practiced. And it became second nature to me, right? I didn't even have to think about counting my steps anymore. I didn't have to think about my form anymore. It just happened. But man, when it first started, I was a sprinter running through hurdles and knocking things down, and I was clumsy. If that's you, man, go with it. Go with it. Give it a season and see what happens. Just begin to build this habit. And remember, this isn't something for you to check off. It's something for you to experience as a reaction to your life in the kingdom. Huzzah. To this fourth habit, and this really is one of those things, I know you're looking at the time, it's not going to take too long to talk about this one. I will spend at least one period of time this week learning Christ. Learning Christ. Some of you are looking at that and you're saying, wait a minute, that's not the usual way of saying this. This man has intentionally failed us grammatically. Wrong. Because this communicates something very intentional. I want you to learn about him. We've been doing that most of our lives. Anytime we've bounced in and out of church or tried to read scripture on a regular basis or tuned into what the preacher was saying an extra few minutes every Sunday, right? I don't want you to learn about him. I want you to learn him. I shared a couple weeks ago about my experience in East Africa with this young woman who was being disciplined for the way she related to me by our guide, by the senior sort of pastor that was hosting us. And she stopped and she said, no, this is his way. I've learned him. This is how he communicates, right? And it's always stuck with me. This was years ago. This was 12, 13 years ago. And the way she said it just settled with me. No, I've learned him. This is his way. Oh, it's a beautiful thing. So we want you to set aside some time to learn Jesus. So what does that look like? What does it look like? Can it look like reading scripture? Yes. In our tradition, we call that the outer word that testifies to the living word, right? The written word is the outer word that testifies to the living word that is Jesus. So can we learn about him? Yes. Can we learn him through stories of his life, both Old Testament and New? Absolutely. Spend time learning Jesus. What are some other ways that you can think of that you can learn Jesus? How about we interact with other people who are made in his image? other people who are made in his image and who are intentionally creating an atmosphere of love and life around them. Beautiful. What else? What are some other ways we can learn him? I just threw these up as ways. Anybody listen to audio books at all? You're busy people. You drive all the time. Audiobooks are great. You get a good narrator of scripture in an audiobook, and it will change how you hear it, right? And therefore change how you interact with it. Listen to the stories of his life. And I put the Gospels up there, but I'm telling you, the story of his life starts from Genesis and keeps going through today. But engaging in scripture in that way. How about reading the Bible with someone else? I'm fond of saying, and it kind of comes from the influences that formed our denominational family, that we understand and know Jesus better and more fully when we understand him together, when we're sharing our perspectives of what this means or what this means to me or what this means for us. And when we get into a group of people and we do that together, it gives us a bigger picture of who Jesus is. More full and complete understanding of his life for us. And then, Jody, I put this in, listen to worship music. Can we not learn Jesus through the way other people talk about him? Through the art that other people create in response to him? Oh, wow. Yeah. Yeah. So paying attention to what's stirring in our own hearts. That was a great segue. We're clicking today. The rest of us are too. Don't feel left out. I got to share this quote with you from a theologian that I encounter regularly, someone who thinks about God a lot, studies his way, learns him, and then writes about what he's encountered. Let me find it here. Well, apparently, it did not make it in to my notes, but I was super stoked about it. Well, here's the gist of it. That the habit of learning God, of learning Jesus, isn't so much about learning what would Jesus do in a moment, or learning what would Jesus say in a moment, but what would Jesus have me think, be, and do right now? What would my king, who dispenses an unending flow of unrestricted love to me, who fills me up with this power, the same power that raised him from the dead, what would he have me be right now? As a citizen of his kingdom, what would the king require of me right now? Not what would he do? We can read that. We can know that about him. Not what would he say? We can read that. We can know that about him. But if we really learn him and understand that we're to be like him, what would he have me be? Who would he have me be? What would he have me do? What would he have me say? How would he have me respond in the power of his unrestricted love in this moment right here and right now? The joy of this, and I invite the band to come forward, the joy of this in my life in building into these habits is beginning to understand the heart of God, what moves him or what's moving him or what he wants me to be moved by right now. If you've ever traveled to another country, to another culture that was very different from yours, and you had to study it, you had to study it for a time before you went, so you had some kind of understanding. when you get there, you begin to see the things that you've learned come to life. You begin to see that these differences that were once academic to you now have flesh and bone on them. You begin to see that there's the image of God in these people that are very different from you. There's a way of following him and living in his kingdom that are different than yours. And all of a sudden, it becomes this beautiful thing that moves out of the academic intellectual space and becomes this thing that you're experiencing through his kids, through his people, through his creation in his kingdom. I found some enthusiasm in the midst of my illness today to say to you that these are not checklists. These are not just things that you need to do if you're a serious follower of Christ. These aren't the 3 or 5 or 4 easy steps to take to a fulfilling life. These are your responses to his love invading your world. This is your investment in seeing that take on flesh and blood all around you more and more often. And in that space where his kingdom is becoming real, you find yourself drawn to it. I find myself drawn to it. I find myself insisting on it. I want that for you. I want that for your homes. I want that for the places you work. We're going to talk about some more of that stuff next week, but I want you to hear that this life isn't some kind of list. That your presence here this morning isn't just about sitting and hearing someone talk. It's about experiencing the presence of God. You've come here to tune out the other things and turn up his voice. It's a habit you've built in intentionally, as a response to his love. So I continue to encourage you to bless people this week. I continue to encourage you to eat with others this week, to carve out space to listen for the Spirit, and to carve out a chunk of time to focus on learning him in some way. To help you do that, as you leave today, you're going to get, if you choose, one of these handouts, and it just sort of lists these habits, even the one that we're going to get to next week. It tells you, again, why we're doing this, why this is important to us, and I'd encourage you to just like slap this up on your refrigerator or scotch tape it to your dashboard or put it somewhere where you can see it to remind you, because none of us are great at this, to remind you to start developing the patterns of behavior and habits that create for you this more and more full-time context and understanding of life in the kingdom, in this atmosphere of unrestricted love. Let me pray for you. God, I give